to speak to you, hoping that the words that I am speaking are from God's divine revelation. My goal today is to have every one of us to look at ourselves in an honest light, and honest thoughts of where you are as being a Christian. What drove this thought was two different events that have happened in my life. One is seeing a young man raised up in the church, which I spoke about in the invitation, who supposedly believed, but found out later he was an atheist. How did a kid go so far? Then, last week, Twan and I were in Chattanooga, and one of Skylar's friends, who was a staunch Baptist, comes to know the truth, is diligently trying to seek the truth, and not only seek the truth, had the courage and the strength to go to the church that he attended, to talk to his Bible class teacher, and to confront the preacher. How opposing or contrasted personalities and things that happened. What happened? What makes one so much on fire and one die? You look about when, in Acts 8, you look about when Saul persecuted the church. When the church was under pressure, the people fled, but they continued to grow. They had a zeal for the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. The one that fell away didn't have the zeal. And I'm afraid the people that surrounded him, that influenced his life, didn't have the zeal either. They didn't have the passion, the desire, the love of the Lord to lead him in the right way, to teach him, to help him to see the principles. Because sometimes, if you look at the way we live, though we believe and we don't do actions, how that could feed unbelief. So today is a day that I want to take a test. I want you to look at yourself as individuals. I may say some things and say, well, that may not be. I don't want you to do that. I want you to look at yourself and diligently look at who you are and what is it that you are doing or not doing to influence the person to your left or to your right, to influence these young kids. And I'm not talking about your kids. I'm talking about I want you to influence my kids. I want your example as a Christian to make, Courtney's here, to make her want to be a Christian and be a faithful Christian and be an energetic Christian who goes out and teaches. And I need to be the same thing for your kids and for your family and to help one another to grow. So the only thing I can say is we need to look at our attitudes. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, to examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Idea of whether or not you are a true Christian or not. To test yourself. Do you know not yourself? Who should know you? You know, I can look at brother and sister so-and-so and think, They are righteous. They are good. But I don't know their heart. Who knows their heart? They do. You know what you stand for. Of course, God knows everything, but you know. And so you need to know that if you're in the truth, and to know whether or not you are faithful. Why? Why should you test yourself? 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." We all in here understand that there's going to be a judgment. We all have that realization that one day, somewhere in the distant future in our minds, that is what's probably going to happen. We don't think about it could be in the next 30 seconds. But we put it off in the future. We don't think about our death could be in the next 30 seconds. We put it off in the future. Because it's always future. But realization is that we have to know that the future is coming. And we have to be ready for that future. Because the consequences are not that pleasant. So, where do you stand? And I want you to understand that I know that when I speak, I found this also in 2 Peter 1:10. Usually when I preach, it's more about emotions, about your living the Christian life, about you being to action. But I like this verse here. "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." And it basically says, as long as I'm alive. It's who I am. I want to see this congregation grow spiritually. And when it grows spiritually, and you demonstrate the love of God, we won't have empty spots. Empty spots are a reflection of you and me. Maybe those who are actually always here. But they reflect us. And in a lot of what we're not doing. And so, today is the time for us to reflect. My first question, as far as the test was, is where is your treasure? Take the time to think about it. What is it that you treasure? What is your affection? What is your desire? I know we like sports. You know, Tennessee, Alabama, whatever. We like those type things. And those things are great in and of themselves. But is that who you are? Is that what encapsulates you? Is you're just a sports fan and that's what you treasure? And every morning that's what you get up for? Do you get up to go to work because you just love your job? That is just who you are? Or do you get up in the morning and say, "This is the Lord's day. He gave it to me. What is it that I need to do today to make myself grow spiritually? To help my brothers and sisters in Christ. The people I'm supposed to love. I know brother so-and-so is having a hard time. I know sister so-and-so is having a hard time. I know somebody is sick. I know somebody needs something. So I may go to work and do the best I can, but my concern is on spirituality. Upon maybe somebody falling away and you want to make sure they're taught, or maybe you're teaching a Bible class and your mindset is, what is it? Is that your day? Do you get up in the morning and think at all about church services? When it comes to Wednesday night, some might not even be here. How can you say your treasure's for heaven and you're not here? That contradicts attitude. You know, people say, well, you can't tell me I have to be here. I can tell you attitude. And your attitude and your love for God will demonstrate in your actions. You know a tree by its fruits. If you're here or not here, I know your fruits. And we're not having a discussion about, do I have to be? It's the fact that if your treasure is up in heaven, and that's what you want it to be. Matthew 6:19, which is part of that, says, do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where the moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven. What are you doing today to get to heaven? What are you doing to make it there? What are your affections? A similar question to your treasure is, what are you seeking after? What do you seek in the mornings? You wake up in the morning, what are you seeking? Are you seeking the dollar? Are you thinking, what is it that I can do to be able to buy a brand new car? Or what can I do to build this house? That's what you're seeking. Are those things wrong? And we got a plan for that? No. But that is what you do day in and day out. And so when you're seeking those things and you have a child that may not believe like it needs to be, but you're not concerned about it, you go, why is my child not believing? Because you're not seeking first the kingdom. When you wake up in the morning, are you seeking the things that are spiritual? Do you never touch your Bible? Do you never talk about spiritual things? Do you never sit there and say, okay, my child or my friends, whatever, are lost, and this is where their area is at, I'm going to go find it. If you're seeking, that's what you're doing, is you're trying to search out diligently. That's who you are. You're seeking out the kingdom of heaven. Your goal is that. If a person is seeking out the kingdom of God, are we talking about dress? Are we talking about, again, whether or not you're here on Sunday night or Wednesday night or for Bible class? No, we're not. If you've got that attitude, you're going to be here. You're going to be doing the things that you're supposed to do because you're seeking. That's your mindset. And that's a mindset that we're supposed to have. The third question, do you love God? Mark 12:30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. I ask you, do you love God? Do you ask the world, do you love God? What's the easy answer? In the United States, because most of us believe in God, it's a yes. But do you love Him? There's a difference in liking the ideal of and then loving. Because this verse here shows it's every part of your being that you love. Again, love the God with all your heart. That's all of who you are in your belief. And all your soul. There's nothing else to give. If I love God, I want to be with Him. I take the time to find out what is it that I need to do. I don't question His decisions. There's enough evidences to prove that God exists. There's enough documented that the Bible exists, that it's true from the predictions. If you want to be honest, You can look at the evidence and prove that. Well, a lot of people don't like, they don't like the characteristics of God. If he's an unjust God, they don't like the way he legislates. But he's my creator. And I have to accept that. He made me. He gave me who I have the opportunity to be. And I need to have the love for him that he deserves. And that love for him will drive me. And he wants me to be obedient. He wants me to encourage and to love other people. He wants me to be here. He has his reason, and I respect that. So, do you have a love of God that drives you? Romans 12:9. Similar thought. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. To illustrate again the point about loving. If we love God, what does that mean that we dislike? We abhor what is evil. How many times do we want to compromise the truth, compromise a truth with our family, try to give away to keep a family relationship when, in the instance I was talking about, a mom and dad need to withdraw from their kid, but they try to love him and they didn't abhor the evil and they tried a chance to correct him. They got emotional with him. But if you love God, you trust his precepts, and you abhor what is evil, you do what's right. I don't care if it's family. I don't care if it's my son or my daughter. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I have to abhor it. If I watch TV and there's things that are wrong in themselves, I've got to detest that sin. We got so desensitized to this in our society. I feel for our younger, those that are my age or older, you had 2 or 3 channels growing up. And you weren't exposed to these things. And there was some sense of still decency in the world as I was growing up. But nowadays, it's the music, the TV. You hear things out there, and they've heard it so much they become desensitized to it. But you're supposed to abhor the evil. But it's so common. As Christians, as young, as older, we got to keep in perspective. We love God and we're driven that way. When we see people are sinning, we see what people are actively sinning and disgracing God, and we know that their salvation is lost. There is no hope. We should abhor that because we hate what they're doing. We can't compromise things. We can't compromise our faith. We can't say go be a little bit liberal. Lost is lost. Evil is evil. We got to have a reaction. We have a society that's getting to the point where we won't say love. Well, we got to show love. You got to be kind. Do we need to be kind? Yeah. But it's telling the truth kind. Sometimes it's not. It's painful for them. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. It means it's going to cut both ways. It's going to hurt at times. But you don't do your friends any good by trying to be nice. You can be respectful. But if you got a friend that is compromising truth, and you know what they're doing, they're trying to accept things that are wrong, and you call them out on that, and you're classified as being the mean one, you lack love if you sit there and you allow people
to do things or to accept things that are wrong or unscriptural. That's the fact. Scriptures are plain on that. We've got a time where we get complacent. Mark 10:34, idea, he says, do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. To my point. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take the cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. If you're not willing, and this is the idea, to give up your personal comforts, when it comes to family and the people that you're closest to, that's your comfort. But when people are wrong, they're wrong. Do you love the Lord enough, and do you love them enough to create the conflict that God expects you to do? If you don't, you don't love God. And don't even think of that you're going to heaven, because you don't have that part. Because it says right here, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life. That means he who's willing to put his relationships, his point of, even the point of if it's death, on the line for what is right. That's the love that we have for God. That we're willing and are driven to do so. So again, if you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, we go back and you know he's doing that. You seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you're laying up your treasures. If you got that attitude, where are you going to be this Wednesday night? Where are you going to be at? Where are you going to be dressing? How are you going to be dressing? What is your mindset? You know, we're not going to be, all these things that people want to hold on to are going to go away because they love God so much that they're willing and they're able and they're dedicated to make sure that they are doing what they're supposed to do, and they're trying to make sure that they are being a good encouragement to you. They're not trying to create a stumbling block for you. That is the love that you have. Are you running the Christian race to win it? 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Majority of us are Christians in here. Are you running the Christian race to get to heaven? Or are you only running the Christian race to keep your family from getting on you? To keep peace and keep harmony? Are you, because you like the idea of the church, and you start compromising. The idea of running the Christian race is to be able to obtain it, is the fact is that that's your attitude. That you're willing, and that is your purpose of being a Christian, is to get to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we've lost the race. We've lost everything. There's no purpose of being here if your goal is not getting to heaven. And you can't halfway do this. You have to be dedicated with all your heart and with all your mind. And this leads to my fifth question is, are you giving up on the race? Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, We also, since we are surrounded so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Being a Christian and being a faithful Christian is an endurance race. No one here is going to tell you that you're not going to be tempted. No one here is going to tell you that you're not going to have difficulties. But that's why we're here for one another. That's why if we show brotherly love and kindness, is that we're going to be here for one another. But we have to endure. We have to understand that as we live our life as Christians, there are going to be times of difficulties. And we have to keep that in perspective. That's why we're praying, people. That's why we're here for one another. Is we know that there are difficult times. But we've got to endure through those things. We can't let Satan overcome us. And so we have to push through. Don't give up. I know a lot of Christians who were really faithful in their early years, but as they got old and they had age on them, their health started to give them trouble. And they thought for their service to the Lord was of no value, and you could see them start to die spiritually. And it's sad to see that because they got tired physically. But don't quit. Endure that. Just know that home is only death away. And that's a good thing. You know, death is not bad. As you get older, as I get older, that realization becomes more and more true to me every day. That I'm not that far away from death. I remember being the young ones here on the row, front row. I remember being their age. I'm far from that now. And some of you are further than me. That's why I'm talking about being passionate about this. Is that death is a certain thing. And you and I have got to face that reality. So don't give up on this race that's before us. Endure it. Endure the tough, difficult times. Endure the health issues. Because the fact is that when our death comes and we're ready, our health issues are not going to be a problem. We're not going to be in pain. We're not going to be suffering. Because we've done everything that we need to do. Are you diligent? What is diligent? Diligence is bringing all zeal or all effort. It's your all. 2 Timothy 2:15, I think the King James Version says, study to show thyself approved. New King James says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. It's the idea, the fact is that, are you a diligent person when it comes to your salvation? Are you diligent to be able to present yourself approved? It's not us, it's you, individual. Are you being diligent to be able, whenever you are presented, to make sure that you're approved to God or by God? But it shows a need to put effort into it. Strong effort, a zeal, a care. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Are you aware? Are you diligent in observing your surroundings and things that can keep you from entering to that rest? Sometimes I think about false doctrine come in. We think, well, old brother so-and-so, he's pretty well known and respected. We know about this in times past. I know a gospel preacher well respected. But some things are wrong on marriage. I know some brethren who weren't diligent. They loved him when they loved truth. And they compromised. We have to be diligent in everything that we do. And test everything that's being said. Because we can't allow ourselves to get off the path. We need to be strong. And I like when you go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. And verse 5 through 8. Let me put back up to go back to verse 2 to start the point. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to, which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. By this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Are you diligent? When you look at these graces, it says, add to your faith. Your faith is individual. We're all at different points of our faith. None of us are the same. But this shows that no matter where we're at, that we need to add to. It's a continual growth. Where you're the most faithful Christian here or the least, you got to grow or you die. You can't quit. But you are going to add to your faith. You're diligent and you're trying to seek it again. Heaven is your home. And you're going to add to your faith. It says you're going to add to your faith virtue. Do you have the determination and do you have the moral courage to do things right? Sometimes we fail to have courage. We fail to have the determination to do what's right because of peer pressure, because of work pressure, because we're afraid of, we put ourselves in such economical hardships, we're afraid to lose our job. But we've got to have courage. We've got to have a determination to do what's right. And if we have that determination to do what's right, then we're adding to our faith, and we keep doing that. It says a virtue knowledge. How much studying are you doing? Why is it that some fall away? Is they don't understand, they haven't studied. They haven't taken the time to really get the big picture, to understand the whole plan. That's what I love about the congregation here and the Bible study program that we have here. As we go from Genesis to Revelation. If you bring your kids to class and you start when they're young till they get to 18 years old, they have gone through the Bible fully at least three times. You know how many times I went through the Bible until I was probably 32? I think once when we finished this program. Congregations, other places, they didn't do that. And I was missing. I didn't understand what a minor prophet was. And I was in the 20s. Never taught. And so, what's that? Part's my fault. Part of the fact is that, hey, you know, why is class important? It's the fact is that they need to have our kids, and we need to maintain our knowledge and grow in our knowledge. And knowledge just helps us to grow, and that's why we know to be diligent. That's how we know how to work hard. That's why we know what to do. So we need to study. It says knowledge tempers. Idea of having self-control. Make yourself do what you need to do. Do you have the power to make yourself do? Sometimes I know when Twan and I first had Skylar and Courtney, how hard it is on parents of young. To get them up sometimes, to get them to services on time. But you make yourself do what you know is the right thing to do. And you get them here. Because you are a temperate, you are a person in control. You discipline yourself and you bring yourself to where you know what's right and you make yourself do it. Are you patient? Are you enduring all the trials? Are you being steadfast? It's easy to get swept away, but be patient. Idea of being godliness. Do you have a deep reverence? Are you well devoted to God? We grow in that. An idea of brotherly kindness is, do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? And that's an area right there that could be a sermon in and of itself. But I want you to really think about that. Do you really, really, truly love your brothers and sisters? Do you love the people that are behind you, in front of you? Are we getting to know them? Are we getting to know their kids? Do we know what their kids involved with? Do we know what's going on in their life? Do we have a relationship that we're growing? Because you talk about the idea of withdrawing from a brother and the idea of knowing not even to eat, but you never have a relationship. Withdrawing starts to sound, what from? Because you don't show brotherly love. That's who we are. And I have a responsibility to love you and to care for you in a deep, passionate way. And a care and concern that we have toward one another. And then at the end there, just idea of just love in general. Are you a loving person? Are you? So what am I saying today? If you lay up your treasures in heaven and you're seeking first the kingdom of God and you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might and you're running the race of being a Christian the best you can and you're enduring all the difficulties and you're diligently seeking the Lord, you're on the right track. And if you're doing those things, again, are the elders talking to you about whether or not you're coming to services? Are they talking about whether or not of how you're living, conducting your life? No, they're not. I hope that's understandable. I hope I'm saying that in the right way. Is that the attitude that we have will be so strong that we all can see it. I don't want to lose any more of our young kids. I don't want to lose any of our older brethren from the middle age. But if this congregation, if all of us starting at this moment will adopt these characteristics and own them and demonstrate them, this congregation will be the light not only of this community, but around the world. Because all it does is take one to start. Twan and I were so encouraged by this young man. It just gave us a certain energy to seeing the life of somebody who was so willing to fight for truth, and he loved so much. It made us passionate. And that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be passionate people. But when we show a lackadaisical attitude, and we don't take love serious of God, and it moves us to motion, then how are we going to keep our kids? How are we going to keep those who are difficult, have difficulties in life, and say, hey, this is the way it should be when we don't show brotherly love? We can't. We can't grow. We can't be what we need to be. And I can't see us in heaven. Because we have to have those traits to get there. We got to be all in. I'm telling you, it's a great thing. It's not a burden. It's a great thing when we're there. And so, in conclusion, where are you standing? Take the time to evaluate yourself. Some things are private in nature that need to be done privately as far as sin-wise. But some of you are away, have fallen away. In a public setting, your life has not demonstrated what needs to happen. You need to make those corrections. There are some here that may not be Christians, and you're not even in the race yet. You need to think about that. Even though Donnie's not here, there are people here who can baptize you into Christ and are more than willing to do that. You need to think about that before the judgment day comes, or your death comes, and we know not when that is. So now is the time. So whatever state that you're in, if you need to make corrections, I pray that you'll come as we stand and sing.